Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem He. And we are right in the middle of the discussion about the universal halachas that have to do with the concepts of Taroves on many different levels. So we've been discussing the idea of Hetemet Tarif Le'Isser. We've been discussing the concept of Tam Ke'Iker. We've been discussing the Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras in a Taroves, and variations of those themes, particularly as they are nogea special cases, such as the chidushim of Basar B'cholov, and the chidushim, according to some at least, chidushim of Tam Livgam in a kedera when it comes to Klei Midyan. And we're holding in the middle of the machlokas about how to understand the lashon of Mishras Anovim that appears in the sugya of Naziros. And we found that there's a machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva. Is the idea of Mishrat Anavim, is that coming to tell me a new concept of Tam Ke'Iker, or is that coming to tell me Heter Mitztaref Le'Iser? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds the latter, it's because I already know Tam Ke'Iker from the dinim of the Klei Midyan, which is the din of Bilua and Kelim of Akum. And because of that, he uses Mishras as a special halacha of Heter Mitztaref Le'Iser. Now, the only problem is that the Rabbanan who utilize Mishrat to tell me the din of Tam Ke'Iker make it a universal halacha because they turn it into a limud, which is a kal v'chomer to all other cases in the Torah. Because after all, Naziris is about as kal as you can possibly get, being as it's a temporary iser, it's a cancelable iser, and the other iserim, which are much more chomer, are not like that, and they're considered to be iser iser elam. So the question, therefore, is today, and this is what we left off with yesterday, if the Rabbanan can make it a universal din that applies all over the Torah based on that kal v'chomer, then why can't Rabbi Akiva make it a universal din and say that we understand Heter Mitztaref Le'Iser also to apply across the Torah? Because, I mean, if it applies even in the case of Naziris, so then Kosher Kain, it should apply everywhere else. So this is now six lines up from the bottom on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Omer Ravacha Brei D'Ravavya L'Ravashi, well, why don't we look at the way the Rabbanan understood things and say that Rabbi Akiva should do it the same way? Mid Rabbanan Nishma L'Rabbi Akiva. Is it not true that the Rabbanan said that Mishrat is Litein Tam Ke'Iker, and they continued on with the words, B'kanat Adan L'Chol Yisurin Shebetorah? This applies across the board to all Yisurin. Now, where in the world is Rabbi Yochanan, who is going according to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, oh my gosh, this is a special halacha, it only applies to Nazir, it doesn't apply to anything else. Why can't he learn it out in exactly the same way that the Rabbanan learned it out, L'Chol Yisurin Shebetorah? Because, after all, there's no Yisrana, remember. It's not an Yisraelon. Yesh Heter Le'Isura. I mean, for heaven's sakes, look at all the other Yisrana in the Torah, and at least one of those things is more Chomer than it is by Nazir. Says the Gemara, you are right. We ought to say that Heter Mitztaref Le'Isura Mikanat Adan Kol Yisrana Shebetorah Kula, except that there is one very special difference, and that is the idea of Shnei Ketuvim Haba'im Ke'achad. Remember that if I can find two psukim that seem to be teaching me the same din, then that means that the Torah is saying, I don't want you to use either of these psukim as a model for Kol HaTorah Kula, because if I did, why would I need to tell it to you twice? So the very fact that I'm telling it to you twice means that these two are unique applications of that din, and neither are meant to be a model, right? That's called Shnei Ketuvim Haba'im Ke'achad Ein Melamdim. And, according to Rabbi Akiva, I actually cannot learn out the din of Heter Mitztaref Le'Iser from Nazir, not because it wouldn't make sense to, not because it's not a kal v'chomer, it most certainly is, but because it's Nazir, together with the din of Chatat, which we'll see in a moment, that becomes Shnei Ketuvim Haba'im Ke'achad, and Kol Shnei Ketuvim Haba'im Ke'achad Ein Melamdim. Now, Nazir, we know what the case is, we just explained it. What are you referring to when you talk about Heter Mitztaref Le'Iser by Chatat? Where exactly do we have that case? Chatat Mayim, the Tanya. Kol asher yiga bivsara yigdash. So this is an amazing halacha that we find by the dinim specifically of kachim, that in the event that a mor chomer carbon, now chattis is a model for mor chomer carbon, right? It's mor chomer because only kohanim are allowed to eat the basar. It's mor chomer because it can only be eaten inside of the azara. It's mor chomer because there's limits to the amount of time that you're allowed to eat it. It's only eaten for that 24 hours. So let's say a shlomim comes in touch with a chattis. What's going to be the din of that shlomim? So the Torah says, look, if it touches the meat, then it's considered to be just like the chattis, yigdash. It will be the same as the chattis itself is. Now, we'll see exactly what that would imply if the chattis is possible. Let's say the chattis is noser, the chattis is pigul, or whatever. Then that would aser the meat of the shlomim that touched it, or anything else, obviously. So now, yochol afilu lo bala, the Braita continues to say, you might think that even in the event that there was no absorption of the chattis into the shlomim, or whatever the case was, that it would also get the same chumras of the chattis. Talmud lomar, bivsara. Bivsara means it has to get into the meat. That means achi yibala bibasar. So only once it's absorbed into the meat. Now the pashtus is, there are alternatives to reading the pasuk this way, but the pashtus would be that we would read the pasuk as saying, kol asher yiga bivsara, that yiga means the chattis. Anything that the chattis touches and gets into its meat will then become like the chattis, which is not the simple way of reading the pasuk. There's other ways of doing the drash, but let's assume that that's the meaning of the Gemara. So now what we're saying is, since it says bivsara, it means inside of the meat. That means that it penetrates inside the meat, and that means achi balaba basar, let's be absorbed. Now you might think that we're going to see what that means. That is, does it mean fully absorbed throughout the entire piece? Does it mean that there's a small bit of absorption along the edge? Well, that's what we're going to see in a minute. Yigdash. And then when it says, kol asher yiga bivsara yigdash, it shall become the same level of kedusha. What does that mean? Well, it means if the chattis is posel, let's say that it was pigul, so then this piece of shlomim become posel. If the chattis is kosher, then this piece of shlomim becomes like the chattis. Or it could be obviously the other way around. You could have in two directions. You could have something that was more chomer that absorbed a particular issue for more kal. Anyway, the idea is if it's kosher, I'd say you've got a kosher chattis. And now I've got a piece of shlomim. This piece of shlomim you were about to feed to your family. And you're going to feed it in Yerushalayim to your family. Now that it touched the chattis, you cannot feed it to your family. You have to give it to the kohen to eat because it's the same as the basar chattis. You were going to actually eat it tomorrow. Well, you can't eat it tomorrow if it's chattis because it becomes pasul by the next morning. You were going to eat it in Yerushalayim. Well, you can't eat it in Yerushalayim anymore. You're going to have to eat it in the Azara. And that would mean that you would be eating it kichamur shebehem. And therefore, we are assuming that what this means, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that if, let's say, some of the basar of the shlomim, and just a little bit of the basar of the shlomim, would actually absorb the taste of the chattis, then you have to treat the entire shlomim, would get entirely the din of the idea of of the chiddush of the chumras chattis, which means that by eating regular basar shlomim, you are then going to be over on eating heter mitztari flaiser. Now, obviously, this is very strange, because why should we say that? Why shouldn't we say that what this is telling me is that there's a din of tam keiker when it comes to the chattis, right? I mean, where does it say that even if you took a little piece of that plus a piece that doesn't have the... By the way, there's another point to this also. Even if you want to tell me it's talking about heter mitztari flaiser, it's also telling me tam keiker, isn't it? Because it's making the assumption that the balua alone, which doesn't have mamashut, it just has a taste of the chattis in it, is definitely going to aser the part of the shlomim that does taste like the chattis. So anyway, you're going to have to reach the conclusion that we're dealing with two separate issues here, both the concept of tam keiker and the concept of heter mitztari flaiser, correct? And therefore, why do we use one? That's called in the Gemara, I hope you know, that is called psik resha velo yamut. You try to explain that to him. So anyway, getting back here, so what that means is that for some reason, we are going to assume that even though this pasuk is discussing both heter mitzar of Yisr, and it's also discussing the idea of Tam Kikar, because otherwise there wouldn't be a heter mitzar of Yisr, correct? So how do you know that what we're saying is that this is Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, to teach me the din of heter mitzar of Yisr, dafka by Korban Chatas, and therefore I put it together with what I know to make it Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad when it comes to Mishras of Nazir? Now, it's a very powerful question to discuss among the Rishonim. And one of the most beautiful explanations is what comes out basically from the way that the Rosh understands it, which is, look, bottom line is, the halacha is based on two completely different dinim. One is, the first step is that the tam that is absorbed into the shlomim gives you a din of achatas. The other is that the Torah is not, we already know the din of tam keikar, right? Okay. And the other, therefore, is the additional fact that the entire shlomim is yigdash lios kamoa. Now, I have two options. I could say that the repeat of the din is to tell me not to use the concept of heter mitzar fle iser in any place other than chatas and nazir. Or I could say that, no, you're assuming that we're taking for granted the tam ke'ikar in order to create a state of heter mitzar fle iser. But suppose that itself is one of the chidushim, that tam ke'ikar. Right? Okay. So now I will have Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad to teach me, do not apply Tam Ke'ikar across the board to all Yisurim in the Torah. How do I know which one is the one that the Torah is saying is meant to be limited? It's very simple. In the same way that we said that the most reasonable and universal of these dinim is where you actually have the time of a thing, that it's mitzarev, and not that you could take heter gomor. So if I have a choice, and I don't know which one the Torah is telling me to apply in a more limited fashion, because of Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, it makes sense to apply specifically the din of heter mitzarev le'iser as the Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, and therefore we will not have to limit the more reasonably universal halacha of tam ke'ikar. Okay, in any event, according to this understanding of it, Rabbi Akiva actually does hold that it would be a kal vachomer, but the Torah went out of its way to make sure that we don't treat it as a model by giving us two examples. So therefore, the Rabbanan, for some reason, who utilized the din of Mishras to tell me tam ke'ikar, why don't they admit that this means, but you at least have Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad to tell me Tam Ke'ikar if you don't like Heter Mitzar of Le'Yisr, darn it. So now you've got the same limitation on your din of Tam Ke'ikar that Rabbi Akiva has on his din of Heter Mitzar of Le'Yisr. How do you understand Chatas? If you're not willing to say, dear Rabbana, that there exists a concept of Heter Mitzar of Le'Yisr, then you're going to have to understand the pasuk by Chatas is talking about where the flavor of the Chatas actually was infused into the entire Shlomim, correct? Fine. Very good. But you already know that halacha from Mishrat. It's a kal vachomer that it's going to apply to Kachim. So then, for heaven's sakes, then bite the bullet and admit that it's a special din that applies only to two places in the Torah. Tam ke'ikar in dinim of Nazirus, and tam ke'ikar in dinim of Chatas Shenaga Bibliya. Right? And therefore, ein malamdim. Answers the Gemara, no. The Rabbanan say it's not Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad. Each one of these psukim is coming to tell us a unique halacha, which I would not have known from the other one. And the whole point of Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad is that if the Torah is just being repetitious to teach me something I anyway would have known, then it's telling me, do not use it as a model. But if I can tell you why it needed to repeat it, then obviously it's not Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad, right? That's the entire logic of the situation. Say the Rabbanan, I need both of these psukim. Says Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? Why would you need both of these psukim? I mean, I understand in one direction, as if the Torah would only have written Chatas. You could say, well, I mean, I can't learn out Nazir from Chatas, because I can't learn out a din of Chulin and a din which is more Kal in general. I can't learn out from Klachim. But why can't the Torah simply tell me the din in Nazir? And then for sure, I would be able to bring along a Chatas, v'tete Chatas, v'tigmor minei. Because we're learning, as we showed with the Kal v'chomer, Kol Yisur Shabbat Torah, and Kol Shekein Kachim, we should be able to learn out from Nazir, right? So what are you telling me, Mitzvah Tzrichi? There's no Tzrichi. Answer the Rabbanan, that's because you don't understand our Shita. We happen to agree that the din of Chatas is unique for another reason. It's not that we don't hold of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser at all. We do hold of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. In one case, the case of Chatas. So therefore, Mitzrach Tzrichi. Chatas is coming to tell me the din of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser, which is only applicable here, but I can't learn out from Kachim. And Kulini Kachim Lo Gamar, and therefore I'm unable to apply the din of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser across the Torah. But I will apply it to the dinim of Kachim. Mishrat, on the other hand, which is coming to tell me Tam Keiker, and that is by Nazir, and I certainly can learn out all other Isur Shabbat Torah from Nazir in terms of Tam Keiker. So now it turns out that according to Rabbi Akiva, we have the concept of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. The maximum that we've been able to derive so far is Binogei Nazirus, Chatas, possibly Chometz BePesach, which is how the entire thing came up over here, and the idea of Haktorah of the Sa'ar Vidvash. Those were the locations, and only those locations to learn out from anywhere else would be a violation of Shnei Ketuvim Bayim Ke'echad. And when it comes to the din of Tam Ke'ikar, we learn out Tam Ke'ikar, indeed, Kol HaTorah Kula, but that we learn out from Giulei Akum, which according to Rabbi Akiva, he does not see as being a Chiddush. According to the Rabbanan, we have one case of Tam Ke'ikar, one case of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser, which is limited to Kachim and only Kachim. We have another case which is a model for a universal concept of Tam Ke'ikar from Mishrat. The halachas of Giulei Akum are a special Chiddush Hakra, as the special halachas of Basar B'Cholav, and that is basically where we are holding so far. And then we had, of course, cases where you have the literal presence of the Isser to the extent that you will be able to be ingesting a kezayis b'chlei achilas pras, which we said was a completely different idea. Over there, you have it be'en, and there we had the machlokas rabdimi nabaya, whether that's considered to be the equivalent in a tarovis of achila, of betoch achilas pras, of that kezayit, which would be mechayev you on the primary halacha. Now, of course, the issue would be, okay, so then where in the world did we get the strange machlokas of the Mishnah? Where we're talking about, there's the big machlokas between the Rabban and Reb Eliezer that came out after which we understood the Mishnah is only going like Reb Eliezer. That we're still going to have to understand. Why don't we apply this special halachas of Tam Ke'ikar? Why didn't we say that that would have applied to the Chometz? And why was that only Reb Eliezer sheet and so on? All of that we still need to understand, applying this new concept back to the beginning with of the Perek, where we left a lot of issues hanging. We weren't sure if we were talking about where there is a Tam. We weren't sure whether they're talking about whether there's a Kezayis B'Techias Pras. We weren't sure if we're talking about Min Bemino, and so on and so forth. So, okay. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, he says it's not true. Both the Pasuk of Mishras and the Pasuk of the Chatas come to say the same halacha, namely that Heter Mitztarif L'Isser, V'avu Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad, and Kol Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad, Ein Milamdim. Okay, but I don't understand. How do we, if we're going to apply Rabbi Akiva, then this is a crazy halacha. Listen to this. Amar Rav Asher of Kahana. There's a braita that says that because of the fact that the Torah puts together as if it's all interconnected as one thing, all of the different parts of the grape, and then for the nazir, and then it characterizes it as anything that comes from a grape, right? So it says, Michart mikol asher yeaseh migefen hayayin, Michart sanim v'adzag lo yochlu. What does that teach us? What that teaches us is that all of the various different types of Isurim of Nazir are mitzdarfim zemze. So let's say you've got a half a kezias of the pips of the grapes, you got a half a kezias of the skin of the grapes, all of that is going to be mitzdarif for the nazir to be mechayev him. That is ridiculous. Because if the Torah said mishrat, and you can even be mitzarif the grape with a piece of bread, I mean, please, are you... You're telling me I need a pasuk to tell me that you can be mitzarif the different parts of the grape? So the very fact that the Torah had to tell me that there's a din of tziruf of different parts of the grape tells you about as flat out as you could possibly say, don't be stupid. You obviously cannot put together a piece of bread with grapes and say you're going to be chayiv. So that's like the biggest slap in the face to add the mitzarif answer you can imagine. How is Rabbi Akiva going to understand that? I mean, the pasuk says it. So Hashtel Rabbi Akiva, even Isser v'Heter are mitzarif. So Isser v'Isser, me boy, is there any question that if you've got different parts of that Isser, that of course it's going to be mitzarif to a kezias? Omar Lehi said Rav Kanet Ravashi, this is a naive question, sir. The din of Heter mitzarif l'Isser does not mean, obviously, that if I take a piece of bread, okay, and I make hametzi and I eat a half a kezias of bread, I put down the bread, and now I pick up some grapes, and I eat a half a zayas of grapes. Do you honestly think that Heter Mitzarif L'Isser was talking about that case? I mean, there's nothing at all to be Mitzarif those achilas. One is eating bread, one is eating grapes. The only case that Heter Mitzarif L'Isser would work on is if I'm simultaneously eating the grapes and the bread. And then we had a machlokas Rashi and Tosis, if you recall. Does that mean they actually need to even be mixed with each other, or could they be on the same spoon? Fine, but certainly not one after the other. How about if one eats a half a kezias of pips of grapes and then moves on and eats a half a kezias separately of skin of grapes? How about that if he does it b'toch kedei achilas pras? That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, for heaven's sake. And that I definitely need to know, because that is certainly not covered by the halacha of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. So it's two completely different topics. I don't know why you're asking this as if, wow, do you have something to throw into Rabbi Akiva's learning? Forget it, man. Okay, so therefore, it's completely irrelevant. And Asha'in Kein Heter, Isser V'Heter is only B'vat Achat. Isser V'Eter, Isser v'Isser can be even b'zachar zeh, b'toch kidei achilas pras. Which leads us to our favorite kapitan, who is now going to give us a word of his... I see it wasn't the rowboat I should have presented, it was some talisker. Okay. All right. Next Mishnah. And now this Mishnah comes to tell us from this point on, we're going to be talking about what constitutes an ongoing presence of chometz qua chometz. So at what point does chometz really cease to be considered a foodstuff and turn into something else? So we had started at the beginning of the parak with the concept of chometz nukshe, where over there it's highly unpalatable. But, I mean, it still is something that is meant to be food. There's a point at which something isn't even meant to be food. So there do we have the same inyanim and call that as well, it's still chometz nukshe? Or at that point, is it not considered to be food stuff at all? So let's imagine a case which is very close to Richie's heart. I don't know why he hides himself at these special Richie occasions, where he's got himself, as Richie does, a bull, a kneading bull. And it's because of this Mishnah that whenever Richie kneads the matzahs, or in the old days when it was Richie's pizza, he always would use a metal, stainless steel bowl. But how about in the good old days, when you were using a wooden bowl? That's called an areva. So when you start using wood, it cracks. And guess what fills in the cracks and keeps that bowl going and keeps it waterproof when you put in the water and stuff doesn't leak out, even though it's this 20-year-old wood bowl that's been cracked a million times? I'll tell you what does. The old pieces of dough that have gotten into the cracks, have hardened in the cracks. So now your areva is basically constructed partially out of what was once the dough in the areva. So now you've got butsake. shebesit kei areva. So you got a bunch of dough that has been forced into these cracks in your kneading bowl. So then the halacha is like this. Im yesh kezayit b'makom echad. So if you have a full kezayit, that is too chashev to be bottle, and you have to get rid of it for Pesach. Chayev leva'er. But if it's not a full kezayit, then because it's so small, it is batel b'miuto. It doesn't have enough significance for it to maintain its din of food. Now we're going to see this is much more complex than it looks. Let's keep our minds open to the possibilities of the Mishnah. And the same thing is true when it comes to Tuma. Now that seems to mean the same thing is true whether it maintains its din of a foodstuff and it comes into contact with Tuma. Can it be Makabel Tuma, or perhaps can it be give off Tuma? We'll see. Which really doesn't make sense because the Mishnah immediately begins to put in a totally different criterion, and that is imakpin alav chotzeitz. If you're upset about its being there, then it's a chatzitza. Wait a second. We started saying v'chein linya tuma, which means I'm applying the same considerations. The considerations were, is it bigger than a kezayis or less than a kezayis? Now all of a sudden you say v'chein linya tuma, and you start talking about other considerations. Then don't say v'chein. Then say, but when it comes to tuma, it's dependent on something else. I am very confused by the mission. Okay, then the Gemara is going to discuss this. So, if you want it to be there, so then it gets the din as being part of the actual bowl. And therefore, it would not have a din of foodstuff, and it would not be considered to be a chatzitz of a foreign object to prevent something from becoming tar in a mikvah. All right. So let's take the Mishnah first. First part of the Mishnah talks about kezayit or non-kezayit. So we're going to have a couple of different ways of understanding it. The first is that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Mishnah, which is saying that you've got to get rid of a kezayit, but you don't have to get rid of less than a kezayit if it's stuck in the cracks of a wooden bowl. It's only talking about in a mokom she'ein asuyin lechazek. This is where it's stuck in a crack where it doesn't really matter very much whether the crack was sealed or not. Because it's in an area which doesn't need to hold water, and it therefore doesn't need waterproofing. You don't need to have the cracks all sealed up. And it's just sort of stuck there. So in other words, it's towards the top of the bowl, right? But if it's, let's say, in the bottom of the bowl, where over there you pour in the water and there's a lot of pressure and Richie's going at it, you should see Richie going at it, room, 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 and only somebody who's been doing pizzas for 30 years could do matzahs like that. And over there, if you don't have the batzeik and the areva, forget about it. This is going to have, it's going to crack, it's going to have water going all over the place. You're going to lose half of your dough and so on. So in that case, even if it is a kezayis, it wouldn't matter because there you really need it to be part of the kneading bowl and not to see it as food at all. So in other words, according to this approach, if it's less than a kezayis, then what the Mishnah is saying, the way that Shmuel is now interpreting the Mishnah, is that if it's less than a kezayis, it doesn't matter where it is. If it's less than a kezayis, it has no chashivas. And then even if it's in a place all the way at the top, and it really doesn't matter to us if it's there or not, you don't have to get rid of it because it's so insignificant that we don't note it as being a chometz. But even if it would be a mokum, she'ino asui l'chazek, then you do not have to be mevayer it. Now, this leads, by the way, to some very important considerations, okay? What about if it's not stuck in a crack? And it's less than a kezayis. Is the din of Bal Yera'em Bal Yematze, is that like all of the Yisurim min HaTorah? And we say that Chatzi Shir is Asur min HaTorah. So the Torah says you absolutely are going to be over on an Isur D'Oraisa if we find a kezayis of chometz in your home. So then if there would be less than a kezayis, there's a little crumb of chometz, then you should have to get rid of the crumb of chometz. The only time you wouldn't get rid of the crumb of chametz is as it's saying over here, if it's stuck inside of something else, so then it's ipso facto bottle because you no longer see it as chametz, you see it as, part of the floorboards, which we'll talk about, were part of the Areva. Now, this is very, very nogea, because you're going to say that there's a din of even chatzishir osur ben haTorah, even on things that are not isurei achila. This would be a violation of the way some of the achronim understand that, like the Chacham Tzvi, once there is a din of achila, only there do you say the halacha that chatzishir is osur ben haTorah. But otherwise, since the whole concept is based on chazilit starufe and your ability to continue eating, and the eating itself, the action is mitzarefet, so therefore you have a din of chatzishir osur ben haTorah. Over here, of course, you don't have that concept. Yes, you can be mitzaref by adding more chometz to the cracks of the areva, so that the areva is now filled with the gezayas of chometz overall. But that's not an ongoing act. That's a complete change in circumstance. So that's a big machlokas. And of course, it has very, very serious implications. Legabe the dinim of tashbisa. And as when you're running around looking for your chometz, are you looking only for pieces that are the size of a gezayas? Or are you looking at those little crumbs and your wife is screaming, wait, look over there, what about that crumb, right? So who cares about a crumb? It's not a gezayas anyway. But your wife, being a melumedet, says, what do you mean? Chatzishir osur ben haTorah. And you're going to be over on the Yisra by your matzah. Okay, so this has a lot to do with how we understand this Mishnah. You're telling me that the Chiddush is that if it's Bochus b'Kezayas, then I don't need to worry about it. Only because of the fact that it's in the Areva, then, okay, but if it isn't stuck in the cracks, then I would have to worry about it. Okay, we need to keep this in mind and see as we go along whether this is indeed the state of affairs. Now, there are some who have a completely different approach to Shmuel, and they say that Shmuel, on the contrary, Shmuel was going on the last part of the Mishnah, and he was being very machmir. Shmuel was saying like this. It says in the end of the Mishnah, but if it's not a kezayis, then it's batel b'miyuto. Says, in this case, Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, in this version, that's only batel b'miyuto where it's in a place where we need it in order to be mechazik the dough and prevent the water from leaking out. But in a mukam where it's not meant to strengthen the bowl, then you would have to get rid of it, even if it's less than a kezayis, which is like the total opposite approach, according to which Michlal, what would be the implication? That if it were a kezayit, then even if it were in the place where it's needed to be mechazik, it would be chayev to be mevayer. So even though I need to be able to stop up this crack and seal it and make it waterproof, and therefore I definitely view it in my mind as not a piece of food, I view it as a piece of my kneading trough. As far as I'm concerned, it's a silicon seal. I don't care what it's made out of. And that nonetheless, it's saying over here, this is much more chomor. In order, in this version, in order for me to allow it to be boto, first of all, it has to be smaller than a kezayis. And second of all, it has to be in a place in which it's needed in order to seal up my kneading trough. But if either of those factors are not there, if it's less than a kezayis and not in the place, or it's more than a kezayis, even if it is in the place where it's needed, then I'm not going to be able to leave it there. So this is more chomer in two completely different ways. Wow. Okay. So the fact is that these two totally different approaches, both are supported by a braisa. So Tanya Kalishna Kama and Tanya Kalishna Basar. Let me read to you the braises and you'll see that basically we've got both approaches. Tanya Kalishna Kama. This is the Kula version. Batseik Shebisit Kea Areva. If that Batseik is in a Mokum She'asui L'chazeik, it's in a place that is needed to waterproof things and so on. So then it is not considered to be a chatzitza between this bowl and the mikveh if you're toivel the bowl. And furthermore, eino over, you're not going to be over on ba'yira'eh if you keep this chometz. If it's in a place where it is not needed for waterproofing, then it's considered to be a chatzitza because it's an alien presence over here, and it gets in the way between the water and the bowl, the water of the mikveh. And not only that, you would be over because it's still chometz. But when do I say that? Only if it's a kezayit. But if it's not a kizayit, then it doesn't matter where it is. And even it's b'mokom she'eino asui l'chazek, it would not be a chatzitza because it's not important, and you would not be over on the iser of chometz. So that means both aspects of the original vision, version that we had of Shmuel, are here. Less than a kizayis is always batal, no matter where it is. Even a kizayis is batal if it's in a place where it's needed. Okay, that was the first approach. Now, we have another brisa that says, like the second approach, Tanika Lishna Basra. But seik shebesit ke arivas, according to this, if the dough is b'mokam al suy l'chazek, if it's in a place that it's needed for waterproofing and so on, so then it is not chotzeitz, and you're not over. If it's a mokum where it's not needed, it is chotzeitz in the mikveh, and you are over, but that's only if it's less than a kezias. Oh my God, this is the exact opposite. Only if it's less than a kezias. But if it's a kezias, I don't care where it is. Even if it's a b'mokum osi l'chotzeitz, l'chazek, it's going to be chotzeitz, and you're going to be over. So in other words, both chomres of the ikah d'amrei in Shmuel up here over here. A kezias is never batal, no matter where it is, even if I need it for other things. And even less than kezias is only batal where it's needed for being silicon and not stam if it's there in a place where we don't need it so badly. Says the Gemara, well, you know, I'm really glad that you've got two different prices. I mean, does it not strike you that there's sort of a contradiction? I mean, I understand Shmuel was said in two versions, but these two prices are contradictory. So Kashina Hadadi. I mean, you can't just run around quoting prices. Something is wrong. Says Ravuna, yeah. One of them is totally off. I guess what we should do is let's erase the first one, which is Lakula. And we'll keep the second one, which is a chumrah, and because obviously one of them is misquoted somehow. And we'll assume, because we're talking about chometz, we'll assume that it's a mistake. We'll stick with the chumrah. Rav Yosef, which is very characteristic of Rav Yosef's response to these type of situations, and he always comes up with this words, my God, what a bunch of ignorami. You mean you never heard of the Machlokas Tanoim, which would have explained to you, Tanoim Shakalta Mi'alma? What are you doing? You've thrown out again the Tanoim from the world. What's wrong with you? It's a famous Machlokas Tanoim, and because of that, one brisa is obviously going according to one approach and one according to the other approach. What's a big deal? Take a look at this brisa. Hapachi Ipsha, we've got this moldy pita. So do you need to get rid of it or not? So it says over here, look, even though nobody would eat such a thing, it nonetheless is chayev to be gotten rid of because you will still be over on Ba'yiraya. Why? Because it can still be used to serve the function of se'or. You may not eat it as chometz, but you'll never eat se'or as chometz. But nonetheless, the Torah says that if something can be used as a leavening agent for something else, so then it's considered to be osur. Kol se'or v'chol, chometz v'se'or, both of them are osur, even though the se'or is not really something that you eat directly. So since, even though this is moldy and you're not going to eat it, but it is still usable to make other things. So mipnei sheroi l'shochaka, you could grind it up and make, you know, like one of these powdered yeasts, and you use it to put into dough. And you make the entire dough chometz. So the chamei abakama isot acherot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, when is that true? Only if you're keeping it around for the usefulness that it has for achila. That's when it's you could say that, and you want it to be used for that purpose. But I mean, let's imagine a situation like this. You've got this kupat se'or. You've got this big piece of se'or. Okay, so during the year, maybe you broke off chunks of it, crushed it up a little bit, and put it into isa. But basically, it's hard and not, it's obviously not edible. So now what if you decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to make myself some new sourdough, and I'll use this old hardened piece of sourdough, which is now turned into a big solid chunk. I'm tired of needing to break off pieces and grind them. I'm going to use this chunk as a seat. So you turn it now, you take out the contents, you got this big, heavy piece of sa'or, and you put it down, and now you sit on it. So once you decided that you're going to use it as a seat, it becomes batel, and you can use it on chometz. So now let me, even as chometz, you use it on Pesach, sit on your Seder on a piece of chometz. Incredible. A piece of sa'or. So let me show you how this exactly explains the difference in the brises, okay? So since Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that once you turn it into a seat, it's okay, then that makes it very clear that the Tanakhama would not agree to that. That the Tanakhama, they hold it's not batel. So you see that a Tanakhama holds, once you've got a big chunk, you've got a chair, it's obviously the size of a gazayas and more. So they hold that kol kizayit afagav mibatel, even though you have gone out of your way to turn it into something else, you've made it into a chair, it's not going to be batel, correct? Okay, so then why would we need to say that the braita is a mistake? It's not a mistake. If I'm using dough as silicon, it doesn't matter how big the piece of chometz is. That was the first version and the first braita. So then no matter how big it is, it wouldn't matter because it's basically silicon. It's not chometz. Exactly. That was what Reb Shimon ben Elazar said. This is basically hardened silicon. You know, you get those pieces when you leave your silicon inside of the tube too long. That's exactly the kupat sa'or. What are you going to do with that? So here you got a good use for it. Okay. Then according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, no matter how big it is, it's going to be... Moshe's got one. Okay, so there's your coupon. Does it wiggle or is it absolutely? Okay. All right. So your coupon or won't wiggle, but your coupon of silicon will wiggle. All right. But the idea we see clearly, the idea is the same. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it doesn't matter. Who cares how big it is? The next brisa is going according to the Tanakhama, who argue with the Shimon Elazar, and they say, look, just because you turned it into a chair doesn't mean that it's considered to be non-chometz. So what's your problem, guys? The two brisas are simply these two shitas. Amalei Abaye, hold on a second, Rabbi Yosef. There are two parts in this brisa, okay? Part of the contradiction you have explained. Yes, you have explained the fact that the first braita says that if it's a kizayis, that it's okay, and the second one says it's not okay. But you didn't answer the other problem. The other problem is the contradiction of pachot mikizayit, right? So over there, you've got a problem, because the first braita says that if it's less than a kizayis, so then it's batel, no matter where it is, whereas the other braita says, no, it's only batel if it's needed, if it's pachot mikizayit. You haven't explained that. There is no machlokas that you've shown us between Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Chachamim about the question of pachas mikizayis. So your approach that there are tanoim, yes, but that those machlokas tanoim will explain away the contradictions in this brisa, which is a dual contradiction, both in terms of the kizayis and in terms of the pachas mikizayis, you have not been able to explain away. So what I would say, I would actually expand on what you've said, okay? Taking into consideration this new idea of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, I would say actually both of these braitot are Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and there are differences between them. They're talking about two completely different parts of the bowl. So let's understand what this means, what the way Rashi seems to understand it. The truth is that we have gradations in the bowl surface. So the bottom of the bowl surface, which we'll call area A, right? So the bottom of the bowl surface is absolutely all the time. It's going to be filled with water at the beginning. It's really under pressure. It's got to be very well waterproofed. You then put in your flour and you start kneading. As you knead the flour, that you push the flour up against the edges of the bowl together with the mixture. Anybody who's seen somebody do this, again, if Richie would have given us a demonstration, it would have been even better. But apparently this morning he's out of fuel, and the fuel is darn expensive to get a Richie going. So
it's been too long.
Wow, Richie, it's only been 2 years. Oh, my gosh. I never thought I'd hear the words. Does that mean when we make matzahs next, you're not going to be doing anything? Just because we can't bring the talisker into the matzah breaking place?
God willing, we should be able to do it, but at this point, with the corona and with everything else.
All right. But anyway, once upon a time, you would have seen Richie going madly and powerfully against the edges of that bowl as he's really giving it his all. So that's area B. That would be like midway up the bowl. Then you've got area C. Area C is where you're at, around the top of the bowl, and you're talking about an area that rarely is going to be affected by the actual lesha. And there are times, of course, when it spatters at the beginning, it spatters up to the top as well. So what we're talking about over here is, in the two brises, are two different areas. The question is whether we're talking about AB in the bowl or we're talking about BC in the bowl. That's the question. So that means relative to C, the Mokum Asur L'Chazek is B. Relative to B, the Mokum Asur L'Chazek is A. And that explains everything, says Abaya, because what, and this Ravashi wants to explain. I mean, he's saying, look, Abaya is saying something that you need to understand in order to apply it to our actual case. That lo tema shalobimakam lisha agabata agna. What Abaya is trying to say is that the reference to in a place where it's not where you need to need it. That's talking about the outside of the bowl, but if it's on the inside, right at the top, that over there, it would be both of it's less than a kezias. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that even if you have a crack, a shifta de agana, so you have right at the top over there, so then that would be talking about not in the place where it's a mokum of lisha. Obviously. I don't understand. Why do I need Ravashi to say that the top, that's area C, is not considered to be a mokum lisha? Yes, because the point is, his chiddush is telling me that shaloba mokum lisha is a relative shaloba mokum lisha. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. It doesn't mean that this area would never be nogea lisha because it's on the outside. He's saying that relative to a place that is used for lisha, any area around the top edge is not considered to be, because I might have thought that the whole idea over here of the bittul of the chametz, because zimna de'ati fumati lasim, look, sometimes it spatters, right? In the beginning, like you put it in and everything goes up all over the side. Now you have to bring it back down with your fingers, roll the dough around it and bring it back into the dough. So I would have thought that even that top area is considered to be a mokum lisha. So that's what Ravashi is trying to explain, is that no, it is not actually considered to be the mokum lisha the way that he's learning it. So in other words, the two brises are referring to two different relative areas. So the first brise is that saying, if it's a kezias, even a full kezias, right? And it's inside of the crack. So and if it's in a mokum where it's a suya l'chazek, meaning that it's all the way on the bottom in area A, where that's the place where it's constantly needed for the water that's always there, fine. So then even a kezias is batel. But if it's in area B, relative to that, it's not as necessary. Then if it's a kezias, it wouldn't be batel, even according to the first braita. And then the second braita would be saying that if it's less than a kezias and it's an amokum that is needed to be mechazik, that means area B, where it's in the middle and it's a place that oftentimes you're going to be running up against. But if it's not in a place, that's talking about area C relative to area B. But if it's a kezias, so then it's going to be bottle, even if it's needed. That doesn't mean in area A. That means in the relative to area C, meaning it's in area B on the middle of the inside of the bowl, but not at the bottom. But the second braita also would be moda, that if it was in, I mean, it doesn't say it because it's not discussing it, but it would be meida that if you needed it to be mechazik, the bottom where there's the water, we're also meida that the kezias would be bottled. That is how Abaye understands the issue. Rav Nachman Amar Rav, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and if you've got a chair that's entirely made out of se'or, and you've decided that you're using it as a chair, you can sit on it even at your Seder Shal Pesach. Really? Didn't Rav Yitzchak Barashi quote Rav as saying that if you took a giant piece of hardened kupat se'or and you made it into a chair, And you painted it. You covered it over with plaster or paint or whatever. Then it's batel, right? So im tach padeh petit, so then batla. But if you didn't paint it, and it's still the same raw piece of se'or that you had before, it would not be batel. So tach ein lo tach lo. So you see that Rav is dafka saying not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Because according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, you do not have to paint it. You just have to be miyached it. You're right. That's definitely a contradiction. There were Rav was quoted in two ways by his Talmidim, Manda Masneha, Lo Masneha. I mean, there are those who learned that Rav Paskin, like Reb Shimon Elazar, flat out, and there are those who learned that he only would go that way if you did something else to be Mevatel. Now, there's another description of that, of this discussion that goes, that Reb Nachman Amarav said originally that actually he quoted Rav as saying, "In halachic Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar," and he utilizes this second quote, according to this version, to prove that Rav held not like Reb Shimon Elazar, because the Omer of Yitzchak Barashi Amarav, yes, you can use a kupat sa'or, but if and only if you were takhpana betit, then it would be batel. Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, how about if you have two half of a zayat in different cracks inside of your kneading bowl? And you've got a small little thread of dough that connects between these two deep cracks. So that all in all, you've got a kezias. What's the din? Is that considered to be a kezias b'mokam echad and therefore not batel in particular locations or not? Well, we actually need to analyze the situation. Ro'im. Kol she'ilu yinatel hachut v'nitalinimo. If I would be able to pick up both pieces. Let's say I gouge them out of the areva, right? And now I've got these two big pieces of hardened dough with a little thin piece of dough that connects between them. If I can pick up the two large pieces by picking up the thin piece, so then it would be considered to be one piece and it would be chayev leva'er. But if I can't pick up one with the other piece, imlav eno chayav lava'er, it's not considered to be a strong enough connection. And furthermore, says Zula, this entire discussion is only in cases where they were together in a areva and they are now crushed into those cracks. That means that they are not going to ever come together as one piece unless you go out of your way to gouge them out. But suppose you've got different crumbs in your home and they are loose enough in your home. Now, there are many Rishonim that understand that this means they are in the floorboards. In other words, they are in the cracks between the tiles on the floor, or they're in the cracks between the floorboards. And nonetheless, we don't count them the same way that we do the areva. And why is that? Because when it comes to the floor, we are always using a broom, a brush, a mop, and that is ultimately going to loosen these pieces. And then when we loosen the pieces, Mordechai, mute, when we loosen these pieces, we put them into a little shovel, right? And now we've got a container that is being mitzaref, maybe even more than a kezias. And at that moment, and they could even come in contact with each other and touch each other. So my time, I can't in that case rely on it, and I'm chayev leva'er, because zimnen dechonishlu, sometimes you might sweep them all up, and they'll end up on top of one another, and you'll have a kezias b'mokom echad. Now, this seems to address the issue that we spoke about before, about whether you're chayev to be mevayer, pachas mikezayas. Because what it's saying over here is, apparently, if not for the fact of how likely it is that it would all come together when I sweep the house, so then I wouldn't have any kind of problem with it, right? And I would be able to keep it, even though it wasn't miyuchad for any other purpose. I would still be able to keep it in the house. So, I mean, didn't Abayah say before the only way you'd be able to keep it is where I need it for keeping the kneading trough in good shape, right? So there, Abayah said, if you have it even at the top, it's considered to be It's considered to be bato. But if it's all the way on the top and it's not necessary to be mechazik, then he said, even pachas mikazayas, according to this, you'd have to get rid of it. So, I mean, look, there are many different approaches to this, because some learn that by definition, stuff that is in the cracks between your tiles or in the cracks between your floorboards are constantly walked over and are pressed into the ground. And therefore, it's considered to be also permanently, in your mind, permanently part of the floor, in which case it would all be the equivalent of an areva. Then there's another question, and that is the opposite issue. Because I needed to get rid of less than the chometz if it was in a place where it wasn't important in the areva. So why, if that's the case, and we talked about over there, that if I have a lot, I have to get rid of the kezesim, a lot of chatzizesim, I shouldn't say it as a given, because it's a big machlok as we've shown him, but there are many who learn that it's only where it's shaykh to be mitzuraf, that Rabbi is saying, you got a little piece of chometz in this crack, a little piece of chometz in this crack, that the kli is mitzaref. The question is a house mitzaref? Because that's a disaster. I mean, if it's, here the Gemara is saying that the house itself would not be mitzarev. The only concerns that we have is that if you sweep it up and then you put it into your bucket that you're collecting or your what do you call those things? I forgot what to call them. You know, the little trash thing that you collect the trash in. Only that is the reason that you have to worry about, which is mashma, that a bias as opposed to a kli is not mitzarev, in which case the only problem that we have is the possibility of their ending up in the garbage can together. So that may be true. All of these issues are brought lahalacha, and they're very nogea, different approaches to how makbid you have to be, and it's machlokas, and even between the modern poskim, how far you would have to go.
Rebbe, you're looking for a dustpan?
Dustpan, yes, thank you. Yes, in my aphasic state, I am looking for a dustpan. Thank you so much. Yeah, I was not really able to concentrate from that moment on. Tanuach da'atcha she'inachta et da'ati. Okay. All right, so tomorrow we'll talk about, like, how far this question of tziruv goes. I mean, how about, like, different rooms? Or do we need to worry about sweeping from one room into another room? Is it only the content of one room? How about if something is on the second floor and therefore your robot has a virtual barrier so it doesn't go down the stairs anyway? So it's not really going to collect from the second floor to the first floor. All of these issues, of course, will be explored tomorrow.